Where are you when you hear the question, so where are you from? You know, usually that's the first time you meet someone. Usually it's the occasion of encountering another person and you're getting to know each other. So where are you from? Have you asked that question? Have you tried to provide an answer to that question? When's the last time you heard that question? I mean, you know, besides 5 seconds ago. We'll rehearse, okay? Can you look around, I'm warning you, we're going to take 15 seconds and look around for somebody you didn't come with. Maybe you probably have to lean over a pew back or across an aisle or something, but you got to go fast, okay? No kidding. Everybody in the room, ask and answer the question to one other person. So are you looking around? You know who you're going to ask? Ready, set, go. So, where are you from? Okay, time's up. Sometimes, see, I knew that would happen. There's this happy buzz. There's this joy over answering and asking the question. I knew it would be big. I didn't know it would be that big. How cool is that? But what happens is you start to find out more about a person. You find out more about what their life is like, and the truth is you start to engage your imagination. Because as you hear different things, you wonder, oh, so what was that experience like? And how did that culture shape you and your values and your understanding of your life? So where are you from? North Dakota. And all of the sudden, that starts to shape in your noggin something about what that person may be like. So where are you from? Beverly Hills. Do you see what happens? Where are you from? Where are you local? Matthew's account of Jesus' public ministry is this very geographically oriented narrative. Jesus withdraws from Nazareth and he goes to Capernaum. But of course, the writer talks about Galilee. The writer talks about Zebulun and Naphtali and the great crowds who come later from the Decapolis in Jerusalem and Judea. You start to hear descriptions of these people from all over the place. Some of them overcome by demons. Some of them epileptics and paralytics. Some of them wonderful, some of them awful. People from different cultures and allegiances, different languages and religions. Challenges that are obvious and challenges that are not. Glorious and flawed. Where are you from? All of them places from around what body of water? The Sea of Galilee. Matthew calls it the Sea of Galilee. Some of the other gospel writers have a different name for that same body of water. What do they call it? Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias. Ah. There's a kind of a clue there, don't you think? Who owns it? Who's the boss there? And maybe most important, who gets the profit? You start to see how the geography matters, that there are different claims on different territories. Jesus knows this body of water and seems quite willing to stir it up. He encounters people up and down the beach, and he reminds them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent. Now, on one level, of course, yes, that is a moral argument. There is an appeal there for an amendment of one's behavior. But even more would Jesus would have us remember that it is to look with new eyes. It's to change your perspective. It's to look at it differently. Jesus offers, you know, I'm here to unmask the fraud. Jesus comes to the beach to say, I'm here to expose the sham. I'm here to tear apart all this false narrative that you all belong to Tiberias. I'm here to tell you all it's just not true. You do not belong to Herod. You do not belong to any tyrant of this world. Do you see what he's after? Repent. Repent, for there is another purpose loose in the universe. There is another power loose in the universe. Repent. Repent and see this new matter, this new intention, this new force that is busy in the world. Wake up, because there's another boss. We don't know if Jesus stopped and talked to other people along the beach as he made his way. Matthew's gospel goes out of his way, though, to talk about the brothers that Jesus encounters. Remember, there's Peter and Andrew, and then there's Zebedee's boys, the sons of thunder, they get called, James and John. And what are they up to? They're mending. They're working on their livelihood. They know who the boss is. They know who they're going to owe tribute to at the end of the month, right? Every day, it's more money to make, so you can give it to the man. It's as if to say, Jesus, you know, watch it. You're on thin ice here. I mean, I hear you say follow you and stuff, but you don't get it. You don't know who runs this joint. Do you know that if we take up and follow you, that means we got to turn our back on something else? Jesus says, yep, and we're going to snatch all those people out because they all belong to God. I took some pictures last week. Look, you see this glory? This is my glam shot. What year is it? It's a 94. What make is it? It's a Honda. What model? It's an Accord. It is the most stolen car in American history. Mine's been broken into 3 times and stolen a couple of times, and they keep finding it. This was kind of my truth shot here, you know, what it's really, really like. But after the, you know, all of the work to get the kids through college and all that stuff, we just do not want this car anymore. I don't even want to be associated. It was time to list it on Craigslist. Say it with me. As is. And I, you know, I kind of pulled a number out of the air, and I'll click, 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 and we'll see what we get, you know. And I was kind of steeling myself for what was going to be weeks or even months before somebody called up and said they want that car, that piece of junk car. The window things don't work. Got 250,000 miles on it. I'm not even sure there's oil in it. I clicked post. Not an hour later, the phone starts ringing. And people want this car. They want to come over, and it's Saturday night, and I said, you know, forget it. They want a test drive, and, you know, you take a cashier's check, and is that your asking price? I mean, what if I went, you know, you're kidding. It took me, I don't know, 24 hours to sell this thing as is. So now there's a guy out there driving that little red car, and I assume he's happy. Martin Marty tells the story about Martha. Martha grew up, and her life was different in so many ways from so many other kids, because she was able now in her 80s to describe that experience when she was younger and the cruelty of her parents. Not only their meanness, not only their violence, but she would recall times when her father would put rocks in her school lunch instead of sandwiches. What is that like to grow up in that way? But now, as an old woman, she explained to Marnie that she had been adopted as part of a program that ran in many large American cities between 1854 and 1929. The Children's Welfare Act made it possible to take little kids in great big industrial cities of the North, put them on trains, Nebraska, Minnesota, Idaho, 200,000 children. Now, some of them went to beautiful households. Some of them didn't. Martha, as she grew up, was determined to provide a home, to provide safety, to provide nurture in a way that she never knew as a child. She and her husband ended up adopting Marzell. She was a refugee. And now this kid, after growing and thriving and being with this new family, now as an adult, Marzell keeps a sign on her wall that says, "I am chosen, I am wanted, I am loved, I am adopted." Marzell came into Martha's life as is, with all of the love, even for this one who had been discarded and dented and forgotten, embraced and loved as is. Jesus said, "I will make you fish for people, and I will catch them in such a way that they see, they really see who they belong to, that these children of God fished out of the water will have true identity, one not as a possession of the empire, not as a cog in the machine that is the king's desire, but no, those who are claimed, those who are adopted and loved and chosen by a God who never gives up, adopted and claimed and loved by a God who knows what this lake is really all about and even has been fishing himself in it, owned and loved and claimed and chosen by a God who would rather die than let them slip out of the net. Bo's not going to get away. We're going to get him wet. And he will discover, he will, through the course of the rest of his life, come to understand and appreciate who he belongs to and who he doesn't. God will make it clear, just as God does for all of us, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.